morning we are going to continue our sermon series entitled, It's All in Your Mind. Now today I want to revisit kind of the theme passage that we started this sermon series with a couple of weeks ago. And there's two particular references that I want to go to. First one is Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 6, and then 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. All right, in Romans chapter 8, 5 to 6, we read this a couple of weeks ago, and it gives us a real good principle of what we're dealing with. Because the Word of God tells us that there are two basic mindsets. The mind that is set on the flesh, and the mind that is set on the spirit. Scripture says that the fleshly mind leads to death, but the spirit-directed mind leads to life and peace. A fleshly mindset will kill your joy, it'll kill your victory, and it will steal your peace. How many of you know, man, we need peace in this world? Even Jesus said, I give you my peace. Not as the world gives. He said, but I am giving you my peace. Man, that's a supernatural peace. So we need the peace of God. But a fleshly mindset, it'll kill your joy, it'll kill your victory, and it will steal your peace. The mind that is set on the Spirit, though, will produce an abundant, victorious, joy-filled life. So we're going to talk about breaking these negative mindsets. See, the battle of the mind is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. All right, so the Bible says in Romans 8, for to be carnally minded, wait, we lost it. Where'd it go? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Two very important words. The word carnal, which simply means a reference to your flesh life or your physical life, or we could define it as your sin nature, because that's what it really means. And then we have the word life. To be spiritually minded is life. That's the Greek word zoe. When Jesus said, I have come to give you life, he wasn't saying, I have come to give you physical life. He said, I have come to give you the life of God. Hallelujah. That's an everlasting life, eternal life, a never-ending life. That's the life that he came to give us. All right, so to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And everybody lives in one of these two mindsets. Everybody. We are in one or the other. So we're going to talk about that today. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we started with this a couple of weeks ago also, in verse 3, he says, for though we are living in the flesh, we are not waging war in the flesh. We are not warring according to the flesh, even though we are living in this body of flesh. We live in a physical body. But the war, the warfare, the spiritual warfare is not waged in that realm. It's waged in the spiritual realm. So we must understand this. All right, so the Bible says we are not waging war as the world does. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are not of the flesh, but they are mighty in God to pull down strongholds. And then he tells us this, that we are to take control of arguments, imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we're going to talk about that today. And the first thing I want to I want to deal with is strongholds. Because we need to understand what a stronghold is. And all of us must understand that our mind has been programmed. It's been programmed. The world in which we live is trying to program our mind. Constantly, we are bombarded with voices, messages, and we need a spirit of discernment to be able to determine what side of the mindset that's dealing with. Is it dealing with the carnal side rooted in the sin nature, or is it dealing with the spiritual aspect? Dealing with strongholds. Let's define what the word stronghold is. It comes from this original Greek word. It means a fortress, an argument. Those things in which human confidence is imposed. Think of that definition for just a minute, because that really brings us into the real nitty-gritty of the battle. Those things in which human confidence is imposed. Now, God in His Word teaches us that we should have no confidence in the flesh. Now, I know we hear a message today where we hear this voice that says, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Now, that may apply in the area of talent. You could probably apply that in the area of education, maybe in sports ability. You know, excuse me, I'm a lot better than last Sunday, but I'm still not 100% yet. But praise the Lord, we're getting there. So if I get into a little coughing spell, I'm going to jump out of it. Y'all just hang on. We're going to jump out of it. Philippians 3:3 says we worship God in the Spirit, and we have no confidence. We have no confidence in the flesh. All right, so we hear a message, believe in yourself. But I'm wanting you to understand the difference of things that are a carnal mindset and things that are a spiritual mindset. All right, so if we think about it, the Bible teaches us that we are to not have any confidence in ourselves when we relate that to the spiritual life, because it's all about the Christ life. It's not about our ability, our talent. It's not about any of those things. It's about the Christ life and deepening ourselves in the Christ life. So to do that, I have no confidence in my flesh, no confidence in me. All of my confidence is in the very person of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you? So we're going to define carnal mindset, spiritual mindset, a fortress, an argument, those things in which human confidence is imposed. And so many times we trust us. But God tells us, don't trust us. So many times we will, how many times have we said or heard said, just follow your heart? Can we really follow our heart? Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So how can I follow that? But yet we hear the voice, we hear the message, follow your heart. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. See, we have to understand the difference between a carnal mindset and a spiritual mindset. Nowhere in the Bible do we find that phrase, follow your heart. Did y'all know that? It's not even, you can't find it. You could take a Strong's Concordance and research it, and you will not find that because it's not in there. But what do we find? We find this. As many as are born of the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And they are led by, not their heart, but by the Spirit. Big difference. So a stronghold is a fortress, an argument. those things in which human confidence is imposed. So let's talk about a few things here. First of all, number one, a stronghold is a negative, destructive pattern of thinking that is rooted in the sin nature. Thank you very much. It's rooted in the sin nature. It's a negative, destructive pattern of thinking. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and verse 8. It tells us that the carnal mind is an enemy to God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be, because it's rooted in a fleshly mindset. So think of that. It is, the word enmity simply means an enemy. It means to be against. So the carnal mindset is hostile to God. Think of that. It's hostile. The carnal thinking, the fleshly mindset, it is not subject to the law of God because it is rooted in the sin nature and it lacks the law of God. It lacks it because it's rooted in the sin nature. So a stronghold is a negative, destructive pattern of thinking. See, as we go through life, we go through experiences, and we go through different relationships and different things that have impacted our lives or people that have spoken into our lives. And not everybody that is speaking into your life is speaking the will of God. We need to understand that. Amen? Because what is a stronghold? Those things in which human confidence is imposed. So along this journey of life, our mind may have been programmed to think a certain way. It has affected our belief system, but my friends, it does not mean that it's rooted in truth, that it's rooted in the spiritual dynamic, negative, destructive pattern. See, you cannot live a positive life if you have a negative mindset. You can't do it. That's why the book of Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so is he. He will live, his behavior will follow his mindset. So that's why we must understand, you know, negative mindsets. Is my mind thinking right? Because we're talking about reprogramming our mind. That's what this message is entitled today. Reprogramming your mind. Negative, destructive patterns of thinking rooted in the sin nature, regardless of how long we've had it or how we got it. We need to understand it must be changed because it's rooted in the sin nature. All right, here's the second thing dealing with strongholds. Number two, strongholds are strong because they are entrenched in our thinking. So that means they don't change easily. They do not change easily because they are entrenched. Strongholds are strong because they are entrenched. The Bible says this in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there's a way that seems right. See, that's talking about the thinking. Strongholds of thought process. There's a way that seems right, and people may even believe that it's right, but if it's not rooted in the Spirit of God, then it's rooted in the carnal mindset. How many of you see the deception in that? Because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Where does the carnal mind lead? It leads to death. We just read that earlier. It leads to death. So strongholds are strong because they are entrenched. We are talking about entrenched programming in our mind. That's why when someone comes to Christ, they have to reprogram their mind. That's why the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may demonstrate the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. See, we have to demonstrate it by renewing our mind. So we have to get different thought processes. So we're talking about dealing with strongholds. Here's number three. See, Satan establishes high things in our minds that resist the knowledge of God. Have you ever thought about that? What are those high things? He says that we are to take into captivity every thought, every argument, every high thing that exalts itself. It exalts itself against or above the knowledge of God. Now, I want to show you something here. See, because this is key. See, what we're really talking about in these high things, we're talking about human reasoning. Human reasoning. Human reasoning that is elevated above the knowledge of God. Satan establishes high things in our minds to resist the knowledge of God. He establishes human reasoning. If you go into the book of Genesis, when the serpent appeared to Eve, that was the very thing that he did. He established a thought process. Hath God said? He immediately got her to doubt and to question. Because what was it? What was his ploy? What was his strategy? Think this out. Reason this. If you'll reason it, you will realize that God is withholding something from you. Now, we know nothing could have been further from the truth. Because God had all wonderful, great things prepared. But the test of obedience would bring them into the greater things of God. But Adam and Eve failed the test. But it was Satan's ploy to establish that high thought, that high thing in her mind against the knowledge of God, resist the knowledge of God. That phrase, high thing, it's the Greek word, hupsoma. It means something high, lofty, or elevated. A wall or a partition. So Satan wants to build a wall, a partition in your mind. And what is the purpose of that wall or that partition? It is to keep you from God. To keep you from relationship with God. To keep you from the fullness of God. It's a high thing. Something high, lofty, elevated. A wall, a partition. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, we find a direct reference to the fall of Lucifer. And in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through verse 14, Satan said, I will exalt myself above the Most High God. He said, I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. See, that's the high thing right there. It's rooted in demonic thought process. Satan was declaring his own pride and self-centeredness. High and lofty. I will be greater than God. Now, how foolish is that? How foolish is that? Just look at these verses of Scripture. Do we have it up on the wall? Just look at these verses of Scripture. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you said in your heart, I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit. See, we're talking about high and lofty things here. This was Satan's downfall, rooted in pride. And that's exactly what he does in our mind. That is his purpose and his agenda in our mind. Because he is resistant to the knowledge of God. So he wants to establish high things in our mind. Human reasoning that is elevated above and against the knowledge of God. I will ascend. I will exalt. If you think about this, that's exactly his agenda of how he wants you to live your life. He does not want you to consult God. He does not want you to pray about anything. The Bible says pray about everything. Satan doesn't want you to pray about anything. He wants you to take matters into your own hands. He wants you to use your own logic, your own reasoning, your own understanding. Why? Because he wants to neutralize you, my friend, by keeping you in a carnal mindset. Are y'all with me? Because when we are in a carnal mindset, we cannot step into the fullness of God and receive all that God has for us. Do y'all see what we're up against? So that's why it's a battle of the mind. Satan establishes high things, human reasoning, elevated above and against the knowledge of God. I will ascend. See, that's exactly the temptation that you and I face every day. Doing what we want to do. Hello, somebody. Now we'll go out of here today and we'll go where we want to go. Right? When football season starts, there'll be a lot of people who should go to church, but they're going to go to a Saints game. Just saying. Football season ain't even started yet, and I'm picking on the Saints fans. But think about it. All of us face the challenge and the temptation. Am I going to follow the will of God for my life? I'm not saying it's the will of God, you know, about being a season ticket holder or not. If you feel it's the will of God, get those tickets, give them to me, and I'll go after I preach. I've got it all figured out. Hallelujah. In all seriousness, you know, the devil does not want us to seek the plan and purpose of God. He wants us to make our own choices, our own decisions. He wants us to rule our lives ourselves. But when we choose the spiritual mindset, my friends, then we are walking in the plan and purpose of God. And he leads us into abundance, joy, fruitfulness, peace. You know, all of those incredible things that we all need in our lives. But how messed up could our lives become if we never consult God? And the Bible says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Isn't that what it says? Amen. So why do we do that? Why do we pray about everything? So that we don't fall into this trap of allowing our minds to resist the knowledge of God, our own human reasoning, our logic, our will. That's why we need the Lordship of Christ. That's why we need the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Dealing with strongholds. Here's number four. The demonic agenda is to block our minds from the flow of truth. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto us. Man, you could not find a better explanation right here. The Bible says that it is the demonic darkness, the forces of darkness that blind people's minds, blinds them to the light of the gospel, blinds them to the truth of the Word of God. Because it's the gospel that sets people free. My friends, we live in a world where people are dying in their sin. They're dying in their condition. And you and I, as believers, we have the lifeline of the gospel to throw to them. But we also understand that there is a force, there is a power, there are powers and forces of darkness, principalities that are stopping the flow of truth. The demonic agenda is to block our minds from the flow of the truth. And Satan is very good at what he does. And the only thing that can break that is the declaration of the gospel. Hallelujah. When the gospel is preached, that's why Jesus said, go into all the world, preach it everywhere, share it with everybody, throw the lifeline, because the world is dying and they are blinded. Their minds are blinded by these satanic forces. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not abide in darkness. He said, but he will have the light of life. There's that word again, life. Zoe. He will have God's life. Hallelujah. Thank God. But these strongholds, we must understand, my friends, that our minds have been programmed with negative thought patterns, patterns that do not line up with the Word of God. And we've got to reprogram our mind. So how do we do that? We understand what we're dealing with. Strongholds. We understand the Bible says we have to pull down, cast down these strongholds. Every argument, every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself above, just like Satan in Isaiah chapter 14, exalts himself above God. Every high thing that exalts itself, we have to cast it down. So how do we reprogram our mind? I want to give you a few things here of how to reprogram your mind. Because this is key stuff here. Because, my friends, if we can think right, we will live right. And if we live right, we're blessed. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says that the steps of the righteous, they are ordered by God. Hallelujah. They're ordered. They're directed by God. God is the one who is leading and guiding and directing and blessing and using and prospering and advancing. It is God that is doing it. So we have to think right. And I'm telling you, there are so many people who have never reprogrammed. See, today we think that we just need to reboot. That's a computer term, right? You know, if I have a problem with my computer, you know, I just unplug the sucker. Just unplug it and start over. You know, and then what comes up on the screen? Rebooting. But there's a difference of rebooting and reprogramming. See, a lot of people are trying to reboot. But if you're rebooting, you're still in charge. But if you are reprogramming, then, my friends, you are changing your whole thought process. Hallelujah. And when your thought process changes, your life changes. So how do we do that? Well, here's the first thing I want to submit to you. Thoughts, first of all, man, our thought life is so vital. And our thoughts must be discerned concerning their source. So that brings us to Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12, where it says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts. Do y'all see that? A discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. So our thoughts must be discern concerning their source. So that's why it brings us to the Word of God. And brings us to Hebrews 4:12. Because Hebrews 4:12 teaches us that the Word of God discerns our thoughts. Now that word discerns, or is a discerner, it is this Greek word kritikos. It's a word from which we get the English word critic. Now this is an amazing thing. Because in the world in which you and I live, we have all kind of critics. People are critical of the Bible. People are critical of the church. People are critical of ministers. People are critical. I mean, there are so many critics. But this verse tells us that it's really the Word of God that is the critic. We're talking about a reverse, a major reverse. This is why Paul said the wisdom of this world is foolish in the sight of God. He has brought the wise low in their wisdom. He has confounded the wise, Paul said. All kind of critics, but it is the Scripture that is the critic. And the word discern means skillful in judgment. Skillful. So the discernment of the Word is a critical judging discernment, one which convicts and corrects. And that's why, my friends, you need the Word of God. You cannot live successfully. You cannot reprogram your mind without the Word of God. So it is a discerner of the thoughts. The Word of God is going to discern what side your mind is working in. Is it working in the realm of the flesh, the carnal sin nature, or is it working and operating in the realm of the Spirit? This is why the Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And if we get the Word of God operating on the inside of us, my friends, we are going to live in victory, in power, and in a great anointing. Our thoughts will be discerned concerning their source. So every day of your life, every choice you make, every decision you make, everything you do in your life, my friends, you can bring it under the scrutiny, under the critical beam of the Word of God. Your thought life might say this about you. Your thought life might tell you you're an alcoholic, you're a drug addict, you're bound by snuff, nicotine, whatever. But what does the Word of God say? See, the Word of God says for a born-again child of God, we have a new identity. But you see, that's where the battle is waged. Because old Slewfoot does not want us operating in our identity. That brings me to the second thing in reprogramming your mind. First of all, number one, thoughts must be discerned concerning their source. And then, number two, set your mind on your identity and your position in Jesus Christ. Man, I love Colossians chapter 3. If you then have been raised with Christ, set your affection on things above. Set your mind. Do y'all see that? Set your mind on things above. Not on things on this earth. I had a guy this week. He's got about 3 Harley Davidson motorcycles, and got to talking about bikes. Brother Kenny, brother, I know you like to ride, and we might have some other riders in here. And he said, you know, I got 3. He said, you want to go have lunch one day? Because I was talking about a Harley Sportster. I said, man, I said, I rode those. My sister's husband was a bike guy, And he had a Kawasaki 500. He had a Harley Davidson. He had like a $50,000 Harley Davidson. He was a bike guy. You know, I used to always ride dirt bikes. Early on in our marriage, somebody gave me a dirt bike. I convinced Becky to get on that thing one day. We lived right down the river, you know, but from the river road. I convinced her, I deceived her to get on that bike. I mean, we were in the first year of our marriage. She said, now you got to promise me you won't go up the level. Boy Scouts honor. I never was in the Boy Scouts. But I promised. But I was still a little crazy at the time. I'd only been born again about 2 years. So I was still a little nuts. You know, so I'm on that dirt bike. I got Becky on the back of there, and the temptation was too great. I just took an immediate left turn and went straight up that levee. And I was about 5 feet from the top when I decided to shift into second. Stupid. The minute I shifted into second, that bike bogged down. I hit the brakes. It went up in the air. We went up in the air. We went rolling down the levee. I don't think I have ever. Now, Becky's been mad at me on occasion. But I don't think I've ever seen her as hot as she was that day. But thank God our marriage survived. And we're still here 38 years later. Still going strong for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God that our minds have been reprogrammed. But I had a friend of mine. He wants to go to lunch in a restaurant in DeSalmons. And he said, I got three bikes. He said, you know, I got one I ride all the time. And he said, I got a Harley Sports. He said, I'll put you on it. He said, we're going to go to DeSalmons and have lunch. And I'm thinking. But then he said, but I remember that story of what you did with Miss Becky. I said, I've learned a lot since then. I said, I've grown, you know. So anyway, I don't know if I'll get on that bike or not, you know. All of a sudden, something might kick in again, you know. But we have to set our mind on our identity in Jesus Christ. Set your mind on things above. Man, the identity and position in Jesus Christ, that is what's important. We have to reprogram our thought process. Our thoughts must be discerned by the Word of God. We've got to have the Word of God. And then we must understand our identity. Man, I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. I don't live like I used to live. Come on, somebody, right? I'm not the same person that I used to be. At one time, I might have been crazy and dumb and stupid. But thank God, my mind has been reprogrammed. I have a new identity. I have a new position in Jesus Christ. Then here's the third thing we must do. We're almost done. Got four to give you. Here's number three. Ignite your new life by the power of faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Man, let this sink in for a little while. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to verse 24. Just let this sink in. I mean, this is what we must begin to believe. This is how we must think. Because he's talking about that old self-life, that former way of sin. He said, put it off. It's corrupt by its deceitful desires. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. Put on the new self that is created. It is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. The truth is in Christ, he says. The truth is in Jesus. So we must put off that old life. Put it off. get rid of it. It's corrupt by its deceitful desires. And be clothed in that new man. See, that's the spiritual life. The new man. Whenever you see that phrase, old man, that's talking about your old sin nature, your old life. He said, don't live in that. Don't live in that. Get rid of it. Put it off. And get that new life. See, believe it. Have the power of faith. Man, it's faith in what God says about you. The devil will try to convince you that you're something that you're not. He will. He'll try to convince you upstairs in your mind, to program your mind, to think wrongly about yourself. But thank God, when we come into Jesus, man, we put on the Christ life. That's why we're not the same people. It's the gospel that changes us. And then we live like children of light. So we must ignite that new life. By the power of faith. Are you going to believe what the world says about you? Are you going to believe the opinion of men? Or are you going to believe the Word of God? The Word of God says you are righteous. The Word of God says you are blessed. The Word of God says, I'll make you the head and not the tail. The Word of God says, I'll put you above and not beneath. The Word of God says that your life is secure in Jesus Christ. But old slew foot gets upstairs in our mind because he's trying to get us to believe a lie. See, that's exactly what he did to Eve. He got her to believe a lie. And then victory was his. But thank God that we can ignite this new life in Jesus Christ. Here's the fourth and final thing, reprogramming your mind. Number one, your thoughts must be discerned about their source from the Word of God. Number two, set your mind on your identity and position in Christ. Number three, ignite your new life by the power of faith. Hallelujah. Here's number four, build strongholds of truth in your mind. Tim Tebow made Philippians 4:13 famous. Because y'all know he used to put on the dark under his eyes. You know, the football players put that stuff in there to reflect the glare. And he would have in there Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The devil will try to convince us. You can't be free from that sin. You can't be free from that problem. You can't overcome that habit. You can't overcome that. And we begin to buy into that lie. And then it becomes a stronghold, a thought process. But man, when we cast that thing down, and then we build a stronghold of truth, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have confidence in me. I have confidence in Him. Hallelujah. My confidence is not in my weakness or my strength. My confidence is in the supernatural, resurrected life of Jesus Christ that is greater than any challenge, any problem, any issue. Build that in your mind, my friends. Build that in your mind. When you get up in the morning, declare it in faith. This day I declare I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Begin to make a faith declaration. I declare that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I declare that I am going deeper into the Christ life. I declare, hallelujah, that my God will supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. By Christ Jesus. I tell you, if you begin to do that, you're going to see a change. You're going to see a change. Because the Word of God, it's the discerner. It discerns the thoughts. And then it will bring you into the realm. It will get you out of the carnal mindset. And it will bring you into the spirit mindset. And before you know it, your mind will be reprogrammed. And when your mind is reprogrammed, then guess what? You might have a little change in your step. You might begin to walk with a little authority, with a little power, with a little anointing, because you walk according to your mindset. You live according to your mindset. So if we can think right, then we are going to live right. And aren't you glad that God gives us all we need to walk in victory? Thank God that He didn't leave us helpless. He gave us all that we need. How many of you want to reprogram your mind today? How many of you say, I need to reprogram my mind? Come on, let's stand together right now and let's believe God here today.